welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jesse Colhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Letting Go, The Pathway of Surrender, by David R. Hawkins and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. What we are holding inside colors our world. If we let go of guilt, we will see innocence. However, a guilt-ridden person will only see evil. The basic rule is that we focus on what we have repressed. End quote. In this fascinating book, Letting Go, author David Hawkins shares ways that we can better manage our negative feelings by letting them go. He offers a roadmap for dealing with emotions such as apathy and depression, grief, fear, desire, anger, and pride, and also how we can move up the scale into more positive areas such as courage, acceptance, love, and peace. It might seem counterintuitive to Lifebook members to manage our feelings by letting go. After all, we have big visions, we have action plans, we make things happen. We're not used to just letting things go. That is exactly why this book is so interesting and so useful, as we learn why surrendering is so powerful and will help us to achieve those big visions as we let go of what stands in our way. The first big thought, the mechanism of letting go, three ways we handle feelings. Quote, we carry around with us a huge reservoir of accumulated negative feelings, attitudes, and beliefs. The accumulated pressure makes us miserable and is the basis of many of our illnesses and problems. End quote. David Hawkins suggests that we handle our feelings in three different ways: suppression, expression, and escape. Let's look at each of these. In suppression, or its close counterpart, repression, we essentially push our feelings to the side. We try to ignore them or stuff them down deep inside. We do this in large part because we've been socialized to do so. When you're a child and you're angry or disappointed, you can scream and cry. When you're an adult, people would probably give you a few funny looks if you threw a temper tantrum in the grocery store. However, when we deny those feelings, according to the author, they manifest in how we deal with others. Quote, instead of feeling it, we project it onto the world and those around us. End quote. We start to blame them, and they become the enemy. The second way of dealing with feelings is expression. We express our negative feelings, but we only allow just enough of those feelings to be released to feel better, and we suppress the rest. The author explains that when we dump our negative feelings upon others, they must in turn suppress, express, or escape them. We are setting off a vicious circle and harming our relationships along the way. The third way to handle our feelings is escape. Pass the Ben & Jerry's ice cream, please. We escape through diversion, whether it's through texting, checking social media, watching television, shopping, partying, or other such activities, we're essentially avoiding dealing with our feelings at all. Now, Lifebook members, if you find yourself cringing a little bit as you think of the ways that you suppress, express, and escape from your feelings, try not to be too hard on yourself. By increasing your awareness of those cringeworthy moments, you can gradually begin to handle your feelings in more positive ways. David Hawkins offers the solution to, quote, let go of wanting to resist the feeling, end quote. The secret is to become aware of the feeling, to stay with it, allowing the feeling to be present, and to not be judgmental about it. In other words, don't beat yourself up over your feelings. There is wisdom in the feeling. Gather the wisdom and then let it go. The next big thought, the small self. Is it worth the price? The small self glorifies in how miserable life is, how tough luck is, how rotten our experiences have been, and how mean people have been to us. But we pay a big price when we listen to this set of programs. Throughout the book, David Hawkins refers to the small self that we have within us. He points out how this small self expresses itself in certain situations and particularly in the negative feeling states. Let's take the example of blame. When we blame others, we get to be the innocent one, while the other person we are blaming becomes the bad guy. There are certain rewards and payoffs that we receive when we blame. We might get sympathy from others, or the self-satisfaction of having an excuse. Hey, it's not my fault that I was late. The traffic was just so bad. However, the author suggests blame comes with a price. it can bring with it the self-perception of weakness or helplessness, which can contribute to apathy or depression. Blaming others can also impact how others think of us. Is it worth the price to let your small self emerge? This is the question we must ask ourselves. So how do we step out of blame? The author shares that we should first become aware that we are choosing to blame. It is a choice. We need to be willing to acknowledge it, understand the payoffs and the costs, and then let go of the negative feeling. Anger is another area where the small self can emerge. For example, let's say that we have a relationship in which we feel that we are sacrificing ourselves. David Hawkins explains, quote, "If our relationships with others are associated with our small self in the form of sacrifice, then we are setting ourselves up for later anger because the other person is usually unaware of our sacrifice and is therefore unlikely to fulfill our expectations." End quote. What can we do about this anger? One way is by letting go of the pleasure of self-pity and looking at our efforts for others as gifts, allowing the anger that comes from our small self to be diffused. There are many examples throughout the book of how this small self manifests itself. These examples are helpful in suggesting to step back and reframe one's own behaviors from the lens of this small self. By becoming aware of when and how we are acting from this place rather than from our higher self, we can begin to make better, more conscious choices how we choose to show up. The next big thought: mind-body connection, the link between emotions and health. Quote, "What is held in the mind tends to express itself through the body," end quote. In this book, we learn how emotions, including those pent-up or suppressed emotions, can have a major impact on our health. Let's take anger, for example, looking at chronic resentment as one type of anger. The author shares that chronic anger and resentment can turn into depression, which is really anger that is directed inward at oneself. He says that, quote, "If pushed further into the unconscious, it can reemerge as psychosomatic illness. Migraine headaches, arthritis, and hypertension are frequently cited examples of chronic suppressed anger," end quote. In the Stanford University Forgiveness Project, parents who had children that were killed during the Protestant Catholic violence in Ireland were taught to let go of their angry feelings toward the enemy. These parents then showed major improvements in their cardiac health and their physical stamina. Quote, "Forgiveness healed their hearts, literally," end quote. Amazing. Looking at another emotion, grief, we learn that there can be negative health implications by failing to work through the loss and being stuck in the emotion of grief. According to David Hawkins, quote, "It is a well-known fact that the death rate among the bereaved is much higher than that of the general population, especially in the first year or two following the death of a spouse," end quote. Love, on the other hand, facilitates healing. David shares with us that love increases endorphins and that these are life-enhancing hormones. He even shares research results that, quote, "You live 10 years longer with a dog in your life because a pet dog catalyzes the energy of love, and that energy of love heals and prolongs life," end quote. As Lifebook members, we are well aware of the interconnectivity between the different categories that we explore. This book shares in more detail the specific links between various emotions and your health and well-being. We hope you'll find it both interesting and thought-provoking. Who knows? You might even find yourself getting a dog if you don't have one after reading this book. In any case, you're sure to give some further thought to letting go of those pent-up negative emotions and adding some more positivity and love into your life. The next big thought is managing negative feelings, letting go of apathy, depression, grief, fear, anger, and more. Quote, "It takes energy to hold down our feelings. As these feelings are relinquished, the energy that had been holding down the negativity is now freed for constructive uses," end quote. In letting go, we learn about the scale of emotions. Each level on the scale is associated with a different level of energy, some being more negative and others more positive. For example, shame, guilt, and apathy are on the lower end of the scale. Love, joy, and peace are on the higher end of the scale. This book is simply chock full of great information about these and other emotional states and how we can raise our awareness, further examine them for useful information, and begin to let go of what is no longer serving us. In the state of apathy and depression, for example, the author suggests that we consider the payoff we get from apathy. Quote, "The payoff may be in the face-saving excuses to cover up what is actually fear," end quote. He goes on to say that most I can'ts are really I won'ts, and that fear often lies behind these. When we increase our awareness of what is causing our apathy, we can then move into action. Grief is another challenging emotion that can come from the loss of a relationship, a role, a hope, or many other areas. We're advised to allow the feeling of grief to emerge. It is common for us to suppress our grief, but, quote, "instead of suppressing the feeling, if it is allowed to come up and be relinquished, we can quickly jump from grief to acceptance," end quote. Often we feel ashamed of grief. However, if we continue to suppress grief, it can go on for many years. Moving on to fear. There is so much to learn about fear in this book, since it can rule our lives in many ways. If there is just one big idea to take away from this book about fear, it may be this. Fear is healed by love. David says, quote, "The whole process of healing has to do with letting go of fear and replacing it with love," end quote. Anger is another challenging emotion to handle. One source of anger, for example, is associated with self-sacrifice. We get angry and feel resentful because someone did not meet our expectations. If we can surrender our desire for the self-pity that we get from our anger, we can feel joy from being generous with others instead. As we learn in Lifebook, there is a recipe for creating different emotional states, and the more awareness we have about them, the more we can operate from a state that we want to be in versus one that we just find ourselves in. The next big thought, laddering up to positive feelings, moving towards courage, acceptance, love, and peace. Quote, "Above the level of courage, people seek us out because we give energy to them. Below the level of courage, people avoid us because we take energy from them," end quote. As we move up the emotional ladder, we find ourselves in the territory of positive emotions such as courage, acceptance, love, and peace. Let's examine some of the author's insights in each of these areas. Courage is a state where we can be very effective. We feel capable, skillful, self-sufficient, and energized. The feeling is one of, "I can." One way we move into this state is simply by having the courage to more deeply examine and handle some of the feelings in the lower emotional states. If you understand what is causing your anger, for example, you can find the courage to speak up to resolve it. At the courage level, there is an emphasis on doing. The author says that, quote, "people on the level of courage are the doers of the world," end quote. When negativity is released, there's also an increased capacity to be in loving relationships. Acceptance is even one notch higher than courage, and here we begin to transcend our ego. We realize that people are actually doing the best they can, so we can be more forgiving of them. The author describes it as, quote, "the feeling that it's all right just to be we," end quote. We can not only forgive our own pasts and those of others, but we can also begin to see the gifts in the lessons from the past. Here we surrender the negative feelings of the small self. Moving up to the state of love, we are now in a place where we are more generous, nurturing, and forgiving. Love is a way of being. In courage, we were doing, and in love, we are being. Quote, "It is a way of being in the world that says, how can I be of help to you? How can I comfort you? How can I help you find a job?" End quote. The author suggests that through love, we light up the world. It is only by surrendering the blocks to it that we can achieve this state. The highest place on the emotional ladder is peace. There is a complete absence of negativity, and instead an inner quiet and a feeling of total freedom. David says that we transcend the personal self, and it is the inner self that prevails. The more that we surrender and let go, the more frequently we can experience peace. Quote, "With the experience of inner peace comes great strength. The person who has found inner peace can no longer be intimidated, controlled, manipulated, or programmed," end quote. The final big thought, transformation, how surrendering leads to health, wealth, and happiness. Quote, "As negative thoughts, feelings, and attitudes are relinquished, We re-own the power that we had given over to the world." End quote. David suggests that we make a decision to let go of blocks to the higher levels of consciousness, such as happiness, success, love, and peace. As resistances come up, we can become more aware and begin to let them go. Health. The average person is preoccupied with the body, and this can lead to self-consciousness and an overabundance of tension. The author advises us to, quote, be aware of how much energy is drained by this constant preoccupation with the body, end quote. If we're overly fearful about sickness and disease, we risk bringing about what we fear. The mind has a tremendous impact on the body. Wealth. When it comes to wealth, David explains that, quote, the unconscious brings to us what we think we deserve. If our view of ourselves is small, limited, and miserly due to accumulated guilt, then the unconscious will bring those economic conditions into our lives, end quote. We also are advised to become more aware of our unconscious beliefs about money and what we're seeking from it. Are we obsessively chasing money without being clear about our reason why? Perhaps, for example, we're seeking increased respect and esteem from money. We can learn that as our self-esteem grows, we no longer need to chase money simply for the approval from others. We can surrender that needy feeling and realize that money is simply a tool that allows us to achieve our greater goals. Happiness. With happiness, unless we can learn to manage our feelings and let go of what is blocking it, we are vulnerable to the commonplace occurrences that can easily put us into an unhappy state. For example, a critical remark or a rude person can impact us much more easily when we don't learn how to let go. What contributes to this vulnerable state? One factor is when we feel lonely or separate from others, relationships can take on the quality of attachments, and anything that threatens that attachment, such as critical remark, can cause us to feel unhappy. As we become increasingly aware of our small self in these situations, and to let go of our fears and dependencies, we can increase our overall level of happiness. In closing, the book Letting Go is a great roadmap for examining our feelings and learning to let go of what is not working for us so that we can ladder up into a more conscious, positive state. This thought-provoking book is sure to give you new tools for creating the best possible emotional state to realize your goals. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.